is a commercial-free, streaming on-demand presentation from 92.9 WBPN.
There are very few artists who have achieved the level of success that Phil Collins has. 7 Grammy Awards, 6 Brit Awards, an Academy Award, 2 Golden Globe Awards, a Disney Legend Award, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1999, inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2003, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2010 as a member of Genesis. After staying out of the public eye for almost 5 years to spend time with his young family and to take care of some health issues, in 2015, Phil returned to reissue and expand 8 of his highly successful solo albums in a campaign called Take a Look at Me Now. The crowning triumph of the campaign has just been released by Atlantic Records, Phil Collins, The Singles. It features 7 number one U.S. hits and 7 more top 10 hits. The singles will be available in a 3-CD deluxe edition with 45 worldwide hit singles in chronological order for the first time and as a 2-CD, 4-album box set featuring 33 songs. You can also get both versions as a digital download.
When you look at 3 discs of singles, how many people have done that on this planet?
Joni Mitchell had an album, Hits and Misses. You know, it's the singles. It's not just the hits. So hopefully there'll be a few people that will be hearing these things for the first time. But, it's kind of completion, you know? All the albums came out and reissues, and I was very pleased with them, and I think it did somewhat do what I wanted to do, which is kind of put them out there again and see, people missed them the first time around. Looking at them, it's quite a good collection of records.
Are you amazed at all of them? You just look through them and go, oh, geez, they're all hits.
You get surprised sometimes, because you forget, I tend not to live in the past. I'm grateful for everything, but at the same time, I don't, don't you know who I think I am kind of thing. That's not the way I think.
Hi, I'm Dan Neer. As if the singles isn't enough Phil Collins booty, Penguin Random House has just published Phil's warts and all autobiography called Not Dead Yet. Over the next hour, we're going to hear some of his incredible music and talk with Phil about it, and some of the many tales that surprised us from this brutally honest book.
Hi, Phil Collins here, and like my autobiography is called Not Dead Yet, welcome to The Singles, All Access.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. And I've been waiting for this moment for all my life. I can feel it.
one of the most beloved Phil Collins songs now available on the singles, That's in the Air Tonight. Now, if you're a tennis fan, you heard that song for two straight weeks during the 2016 U.S. Open Tennis Tournament's broadcast. ESPN approached Phil's longtime manager, Tony Smith, about using it.
ESPN got hold of him and said, you know, we'd like to use In the Air Tonight as a kind of the theme because you've got a roof this year and would Phil like to perform? And he said, well, I'm running it by you, you know, but I don't think, you know. And I said, well, actually, I'd probably be watching it anyway. Why not be in it, you know? So, yeah, I said yes. And I have come to realize that people like what I do.
Phil Collins has been good friends with guitar virtuoso Eric Clapton for decades. He also happens to be one of the few producers to coax a blistering solo from Eric in the studio. And he did it twice. One of these is on the new singles collection, Phil's I Wish It Would Rain Down. Now, not only did Eric play on the song, but...
He's in the video. It's quite interesting because there's Lamont Dozier on the piano, Leland Sklar bass, and Eric's playing guitar, and I'm singing, you know. Oh, and Chester's playing drums. And I got him in the whole video. That was a coup, because he don't do that kind of thing. And he's all dressed up in sort of 1920s gear. You know, it's kind of an interesting video. Yeah, Jeffrey Tambor's in it. It's good fun. I mean, this is in the book, but when we met, then we started to hang out, and then he asked me to produce his album, Behind the Sun. And being a friend of his first, I'd listened to some stuff, you know, earlier than that, recordings, early 80s. But, you know, I didn't really think it was that inspired, so I encouraged him to try writing more rather than covering other people's songs, you know, which he did. And on Behind the Sun, he wrote a lot of material. And I read an interview with Eric in Mojo. They were talking about his work. But he said, you know, in terms of my best work, I think probably Just Like a Prisoner is. And I thought, wow, I produced that. I'm actually playing drums on it as well. I was listening to it, and he plays amazing on it. You know, I used to laugh from behind the drums. That was my happiest gig, playing behind Eric with Nathan and Greg.
Now I
Wish It Would Rain Down by Phil Collins, with guitar pyrotechnics courtesy of Eric Clapton. Phil has been called many things throughout his almost five-decade career. Way back in 1985, I asked Phil about a label that a New York Times writer laid on him.
Did you read that article in the Times about calling you the new Alfred Hitchcock?
Yeah. See? I met that guy, you know. I mean, he found out things about me that I didn't really think about. Mm-hmm. I mean, Take Me Home is a very personal song, I suppose. Because, I mean, the lyrics were all improvised. You know, a lot of my lyrics are improvised. Yeah. I mean, In the Air was all improvised. And I just wrote the words down after I sang it, and then I used it in the recording. Because what I do at home is I sing along for lyrical ideas and vocal melody ideas. And then I write down anything that I've sung, because I like the way, if it's spontaneous, I try and use it. And In the Air was 99, apart from one or two lines, was all there. Wow, when I actually opened my mouth and sang it. So I must have been pretty heavy that day.
You were.
But a song like Take Me Home was the same. There was about two or three lines in the verses where I didn't have. But all the Take Me Home, I Don't Mind, and Because I've Been a Prisoner All My Life, Take This Look of Worry, I'm an Ordinary Man, all that was improvised. So I think it must be from inside. And he said that there's... I'm probably one of the, to him, I'm one of the best writer of paranoid songs.
Exactly.
So I suppose, I'm not paranoid. What are you looking at me for? What's this microphone doing here?
But he also said that No Jacket Required might...
Great jacket, yeah. I love all that. I mean, you know, it's nice to get someone looking at your songs and seeing something else other than just saying, aren't they bland pop songs? You know, it's nice to get someone looking at it with a bit more depth, because I'm sure there's more there than just the simplistic.
another one of the 45 excellent songs that you can now get on Phil Collins' The Singles. That's Take Me Home. That's just the way. Phil encounters prejudice and deals with a problem people pretend doesn't exist. When Phil Collins' The Singles, All Access continues shortly.
On your radio, on your computer, on your smartphone, and on your smart speaker, say play WBPM. You're always connected to the biggest hits of all time from 92.9 WBPM.
Welcome back to The Singles, All Access. I'm Phil Collins, and this is your host, Dan Neer.
Thanks, Phil. Mr. Collins has had success with hard-rocking songs, tender, heart-wrenching ballads, finger-popping soul, Disney soundtrack songs, and all kinds of different pop music. He's also managed to have hits with songs about important social observations, the kind of songs that make you think, and sometimes make you think twice.
Another Day in Paradise, for example, was generally treated great everywhere, but when I asked people to put their hands in their pockets in places like Japan and Germany, they didn't, because their governments take, well, Japan, they claim not to have a homeless problem. In Germany, the government takes very good care of them, so it didn't have quite the impact in Germany. I mean, although the song was a huge hit, for different reasons, they liked the song, you know. But lyrically, they didn't quite relate because these people that are homeless are taken care of by the government. So I guess it does change with country to country. Ultimately, a song like Another Day in Paradise is people's attitude towards other people. And a lot of the time, that is what's wrong with relationships. It's a communication between people. And sometimes my song's about relationships, and sometimes they're about people asking people to sort of think twice. And then you think, well, hang on, this is all the same thing. And in something like Another Day in Paradise, it's the fact that we just don't want to deal with it, so we block it out and pretend it's not there. And these people are real people that have problems. So it all boils down to people.
She calls out to the man on the street. Sir, can you help me? It's cold and I'm nowhere to sleep. Is there some way you can tell me? He walks on, doesn't look back. He pretends he can't hear.
featuring David Crosby on background vocals, Another Day in Paradise, now found on the newly released Phil Collins Singles double or triple disc set. Musicians tend not to see color in other human beings. Like we have seen so painfully in the past couple of years, this is not the case when it comes to America lately. Phil did see prejudice rear its ugly head, however, when Philip Bailey of Earth, Wind & Fire asked him to produce his third solo album back in 1984.
Same with me and Phil Bailey. I mean, I think that the Easy Lover thing, you know, I mean, I've got almost as many black fans as I got white fans.
Yeah.
When Phil came, I guess he'd been en route via New York, and he'd met a lot of R&B disc jockeys, and they were saying, listen, if you make a pretty album, we're not going to be able to play it, so don't make a pretty album, make an R&B album. So he came over with this dilemma of wanting to use me to do something different, but not being able to do something different because then R&B wouldn't play it. So we went through a funny week, you know, and I could see that, you know, I suddenly realised, well, what am I needed here? Because what Phil seemed to want to make was not a record that I was capable of making. Legitimately, you know, I couldn't, you know, I like R&B as well, but I mean, I'm white and I'm from London, so I'm not going to make the same kind of R&B album as someone from LA in that environment. So at one point I did say to Massenberg, who was engineering at George Massenberg, I said, listen, I think I'll just play the drums and then let somebody else produce it. Why don't you produce it? You've known Phil for Earth, Wind & Fire, because he used to engineer Earth, Wind & Fire. Anyway, that got back to Phil and then we talked about it, and then suddenly we realised that what we were talking about, we shouldn't care less what anybody else says. We're just going to make a good album. And at the end of the whole session, we wrote Easy Lover together.
Yeah, that used to be a different title.
Choosy Lover was the thing. Well, Choosy Lover was the first words that, you know, I just sang Choosy Lover when we were just writing the music for
right.
it. And I thought, well, Lover, you know, some that kind of syllables work, those kind of syllables work. So Easy Lover was the next thing.
She's the kind of girl you dream of.
a stunning collaboration between Phil Collins and Philip Bailey, Easy Lover. It was originally released in 1984, reaching number one in the UK and number two in the US. It's now part of the newly released singles, double or triple CD set or digital download.
Keith, our guest, had died in the last, you know, few months previous. And I said, what's happening with The Who? And I'd love to play, you know. Yeah, I would have left Genesis.
Hear that fascinating story and more music when Phil Collins' The Singles All Access returns after this short interruption.
Spreading rumors that we're just playing great songs. That's crazy, but it does sound like a good idea, huh? Let's try it. 92.9 WBPM.
Thanks for sticking with us as we celebrate the release of Phil Collins' The Singles and his revealing, brutally honest autobiography, Not Dead Yet. This is All Access. With 45 songs to choose from on this new collection, which one does Phil wish got more love from his fans?
Wake Up Call from Testify, I thought was a great song. I'm very, very proud of that. But, you know, again, these albums come out at a certain time in musical taste, you know, and Testify was completely overlooked. And that, along with Both Sides and Face Value, are my favourite albums. I mean, they were very personal. I was writing about Rory Ann was pregnant with Nicholas, you know. I've got to give Matthew a shout, actually, otherwise he'll get jealous because, you know, he's 11 years old and we were splitting up by the time, you know, he was getting to two or three. And, you know, family politics, I mean, I love him to death, but he's the soccer player. In fact, at one point he thought he wasn't really in the family because he wasn't a musician, you know. You're saying, oh, thank God someone does something else, you know.
Yeah.
But he's a fantastic soccer player.
Good morning to you.
Wake Up Call, originally on Testify and now found on the new Phil Collins singles collections. Phil's newly released autobiography, Not Dead Yet, features so many stories that are going to surprise you, amuse you, and will keep you turning the page for sure. He tells of his failed marriages, the criticism that stung him deeply, and his struggles with alcoholism that almost killed him. There are plenty of insights into his music as well, and a correction of misconceptions about his participation in Live Aid. One stunning revelation for Genesis fans is Phil's admission about a conversation he had with the Who's legendary songwriter and guitarist, Pete Townshend.
That building that he converted into his Oceanic studio, my family used that building as their headquarters for the boat club. And there's a picture I have, which is in the book, of me in my mum's arms, you know. And I sent it to Pete. I said, "This is your studio." And he sent me a wonderful letter back, you know, tear-stained, you know, and it hung in the studio for as long as the studio was there. When the studio was still open, I went down there because he'd asked me to play on this person he was producing, Raphael Rudd, New Yorker, great harpist, you know, and a pianist. So, you know, we did some sessions, and I said, because Keith, I guess, had died in the last, you know, few months previous, and I said, you know, "What's happening with The Who?" And I said, "You know, I'd love to play, you know." And he literally, he said, "Oh, fuck, you know, you just ask Kenny Jones." Because Kenny apparently used to play when Keith was incapable. But I worship Keith Moon, you know, I thought, "I won't get fooled again." That's in my car, and I listen to that. Whenever I want to play something, I will play that. Because that, to me, typifies The Who and typifies the energy that Moon had. And I knew I could do that. It's like getting someone to replace Ginger Baker with what? You know, when we were playing those Cream things with Eric, you know, I used to put my Ginger Baker hat on, you know, because I grew up with that. And, yeah, I would have left Genesis, you know. And in Pete's book, he mentions that, and he thought it would have been very difficult to do because of my solo career. But they did ask me to rehearse with them to do a show at the Albert Hall. And I said no, because, you know, I didn't want to leave home. I didn't want to leave Switzerland. I had just got settled in Switzerland. And I could have done that. I could have, you know, that's like, there's one thing I should have done, was to say, "Yeah, I'll do that. Rehearse for a week and do a show at the Albert Hall with The Who."
Lose my number, 'cause you're not anywhere.
That's the last song we've got time for today, unfortunately. It was originally found on the No Jacket Required smash solo Phil Collins album, and it's now heard on the new singles Box Sets and Digital Downloads. Now, before we wrap up, let's let Phil tell you about why he's gingerly raising his public profile again.
My trepidation has been not wishing to step back on that roundabout that will take me away from the things that I finally got a rhythm, you know. I've never done this. I have an 11-year-old and 15-year-old. You know, of course, I've got Lily and Jolie and Simon, of course, but they're old enough and they can come visit. But Nick and Matt, I'm there when they come home from school, and I'm there when they're on holiday, you know, and I live with them, you know. It's that kind of backwards and forwards in terms of a relationship. Yeah, I think I've kind of stamped my foot enough over the last few years to say I want what I want to do and what I don't want to do. And I just know what can happen. You know, looking at the dates when we were doing the book, you know, endless tour, 15-month tour. You know, of course, you came back for a couple of weeks, every 2 or 3 months. But you went away, you know, and it's like going away to war. You know, you came back and your kids were driving. Of course, it's a choice. I always thought, okay, well, I'm going to do this because then we can all be happy. But of course, you know, stuff happens. Matthew was far too young to remember anything of the final farewell tour. You know, he was a baby. Nicholas was like 3, 4, so he remembers bits of it, but very vaguely. I'd like them to be able to see a show, you know, and just see what Dad does, you know, that's all. They watch it on YouTube, they've got the DVDs, obviously, you know, they turn it on and watch a bit, but it would be nice. And a lot of what I'm doing, really, is at the insistence of the kids, you know, because they want me to do this, you know, write some new songs, whatever. But I try to tell them, you know, I say, you just want to come to a couple of shows, you know. But I can't do this for just a couple of shows, you know, because of the economics of the thing. You can't get this fantastic band just do 2 shows.
Phil Collins, The Singles, is available as a 2-CD, 4-album box set with 33 songs, or as a deluxe box set with 3 CDs containing all 45 of his worldwide singles. Both are also available now as a digital download. You can order his autobiography, Not Dead Yet, wherever books are sold. Phil Collins, The Singles, All Access was produced in New York and New Jersey by Near Perfect Productions for Atlantic Records, all rights reserved. No portion of the show may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. If you missed part of the show or you want to hear it again, it'll be available at dannear.com, dannear.com. Special thanks to Tony Smith of Tony Smith Personal Management, Jason Elzey of Rhino Entertainment, and Rich Mayen. I'm Dan Neer.
And I'm Phil Collins. Thanks for listening.